Interesting that we sang at the cross. Interesting also, they changed a verse. They threw one verse in there that has never been in this hymnal before, I'm convinced. But also, they changed one verse. They changed the first stanza. The last line in that stanza should be, "For such a worm as I." Can I get a witness? Yeah, several of you older folks. Yeah, "such a worm as I." Not, "for a sinner such as I." Boy, isn't that a lot better? No, it's not that. It's, we were nothing but worms, see? And that's why I think Paul chose that in Romans chapter 12, this idea of the metamorphos. He says that you may be metamorphosed. What is it? Turn from a worm into a beautiful butterfly. We got to change that one these days. Back to such a worm as I. That's what we're talking about here today. It worked out very well. I didn't have an introduction. It's blank up here. That's my introduction. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And I'd like to read them first. And it says this. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you once conducted yourselves in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." That doesn't sound like a sinner such as I. It sounds like a worm that I was. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He starts off by saying what we were in the past. We were dead. Dead. That's what it says. He describes a condition in verse 1. "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, he has made alive." Now, the meaning of dead. Now, it says dead in English, but the word in Greek, nekros, wonder what that means. It means dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins. That's it. We walked around. Now see, walked around physically. Were you dead? Were you dead physically before you were saved? No. No, you're alive physically. Were you dead volitionally? Did you make any decisions? You decide white or whole wheat? Yeah, you made decisions. So you weren't dead volitionally. How about emotionally? Before you were a believer, you loved, you hated, you were emotionally alive. We were separated from God. That's it. We were separated from God. We were spiritually dead. We don't want to get mixed up in all that. Oh, you were totally dead. No, you were spiritually dead, separated from God. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden. In Genesis 3:17, it says this, "And of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So they ate of it. And the key is Adam did. Eve doesn't count. Adam did. And I say that because of Romans 6. Did Adam die the same day? Well, yes and no. Have trouble making up your mind? Well, yes and no. Well, yeah, he did. He did die spiritually. He didn't die volitionally. He didn't die emotionally. He didn't die physically. He lived 930 years. In the same day you eat of it, you will surely die. See? He died spiritually. And that's why we are in the position we were in, and that is that we had died in Adam, and we died not volitionally, not emotionally, not physically. We died spiritually. So Paul's not saying that the unbeliever has to be regenerated before he can believe. Belief is a volitional thing. So if we had to do that, we'd have to revise John 3:16 to read this way. Whoever has eternal life believes. That's not what it says. It says, whoever believes has eternal life. The next time we talk, we'll be talking about whether God gives faith to believe. That's in verses 7, 8, and 9. We'll be on that down the road. Now, note, God does open hearts. You say, well, somehow I got to understand the scripture. Well, he opens hearts, but that's not the same as giving faith. Acts 16. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple and from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. As a result, she heard the gospel, she believed, she was baptized. Now, she was dead spiritually, but she wasn't dead volitionally, and she believed. The Lord opened her heart to hear, and that happens. All right, so that's the meaning of dead. Now, the cause of the death. Not the trespasses and sins. You're not dead because of your trespasses and sins. He didn't say that. Did you ever tell somebody and you're witnessing to them and say, did you ever tell a lie? Yeah, okay. That made you a sinner. Really? No. He says, yes. You say, oh, no, that makes you a sinner. No. It doesn't make him a sinner. It shows that he's a sinner, but it doesn't make him a sinner. That's not why he's a sinner. We don't want to give the impression that that act of sin made him a sinner. Because he might say, it wasn't too bad. Maybe it wasn't a sin after all. No. He says, therefore, Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. I know it says all have sinned. All sinned. That's what the Greek says. And that's what many translations say too. So he died. Now, how can we be sinning in Adam? Well, the thing is not, it's not that God appointed him, okay, now we'll see what he does, and then whatever he does, everybody else gets. It's not that. What it is that he is the head. He's the seminal head. Now, I don't mean FSU Seminoles, but the seminal, the seed is what they're talking about. He's the seed. And the seed for everybody was in him. In Adam. You were in Adam. Big old Adam. Everybody's in Adam. You know? What? Seminally. And whatever Adam did, you did because you were in Adam. Now, here's a good picture of that, and I don't have time to get into all the details of it, but let me read a verse in Hebrews. I just put this in just now. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. What he's saying is that Levi, who lived 1,500 years, actually paid tithes to Melchizedek. And he's going to prove here, Melchizedek is greater than Moses, greater than Levi. So he's saying, Levi, 1,500 B.C., paid tithes when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Levi paid tithes. And Levi didn't live till 500 years later. You know? So that's the picture of it. All I'm saying to you is that when Adam sinned, you were in Adam's loins, and you sinned in Adam. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. David saw this in 50, Psalm 51:5, he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He was born in sin. I heard a preacher say recently, there are two ways to get to heaven. Now you tell me, either by your expression or walking out or whatever, whether you believe this. He says, there are two ways to get to heaven. One way is, don't ever sin. And another way is, admit your sin and come to Jesus. True? No. Okay. I can see you're all saying, no. Because you know where I was going with that. No. There are not two ways to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. And if you never sinned, you're still a sinner. If you never sinned, you're still away from God. You're born away from God. You are spiritually dead, and there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Admit you are a sinner, and then go to Jesus, receive that eternal life, believe on him, receive the eternal life, and then you get to heaven. Now, that was a fine man. He has a fine ministry. He missed that one. I should write him and tell him. I was in seminary, but Paul says these people were dead. But they weren't dead because of their trespasses and sin. It says they were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what he's saying. So, now what's a trespass? Well, these two words, trespass and sin, the opposites, actually. A trespass means to step over the line. God said, don't do that. You did it. That's a trespass. The other one is sin, and where God says, do that, and you don't do it. Okay? One is you're doing something God said not to do. The other is you're not doing something God said do. Your trespasses and your sins is what he's saying. So he does not say that we're dead because of them. He says we're dead in them. And we are sinners because we sin and not because... Oops, let me go back on that. We do not sin because we're sinners. I'm going to read it. We are not sinners because we sin. We are sinners because we sin because we are sinners. Okay. Everybody get it? Oh, it's on there. That's our condition. Our condition was described very vividly. Next, the condition is delineated. Verses 2 and 3. We walked in the ways of the world. That's what we did. We were sinners. We walked in the ways of the world. The word cosmos is the word from which we get our word cosmetics. You know what cosmetics do? They bring order out of chaos. The cosmos is an order of things. And we walked according to the order of the world. This world system is a system that leaves God out. That's what the world system is. They leave God out. It's not so much what they do, because what they do is because of what they did. They left God out. Now, unbelievers simply follow the lifestyle of other unbelievers. They want to fit in, and that's where they are. The worldly standards of the day, we got to do it, got to dress the way, and got to have the right thing, and never wear a white shirt. Actually, everybody wears colored shirts these days. You know? All kinds of things. Well, the worldly standards of the day is what they follow. But they do have a leader. The leader is not God, but they do have a leader, and that is they walked under the rule of Satan. He is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. Now, he has other titles. He's called the evil one. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. He's also the tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Lest by some means the tempter might tempt you and our labor might have been in vain. He's the ruler of this world. John 12:31. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. He's also the God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. He's also the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ shall have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast out. He accuses you before God day and night until he's cast out in the middle of the tribulation. So he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the one who works in the sons of the disobedient. Don't be too quick to blame the unbeliever when he refuses the gospel. He's got Satan working in him. Satan and his minions are working night and day to keep him from believing. See, he's doubly blind. He's blind by his sin. But then Satan comes along, as we just read, 2 Corinthians 4:4, their minds, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. They don't want to hear it. They can't hear it. Their sin clouds their minds. Satan clouds their minds so that they can't believe it. I was at my high school reunion. Had never been to one. Won't go back to another one. But there was Bill Beiser, a friend of mine. We worked together, and he was saying, oh, no, I don't believe in that. No, I don't believe in those things. No. He went on to college. He's a scientist, and he worked for the DuPont company. And I felt so hopeless and helpless because he wouldn't listen. Why? Well, because his mind is blinded. And I understand that. I understood it then. So we walked in the ways of the world, walked under the rule of Satan, walked according to our own passions. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yeah. See, one key I find here is that we all. See that? We all. We all did this. Why does he say we all now? Because he's reminding himself that the Jews did this too. He's writing to Gentiles. He's saying, we all did this. We all conducted ourselves after the lust of the flesh. See, it's not only the Gentiles who walk like this. Paul says, we all walk this way. Where do you think he got that? He got that from Isaiah 53, verse 6. The Jewish scriptures, and it starts with all we and stops with us all. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See? So everybody, the whole world over, has the same problem walking according to the flesh. Now, the flesh just refers to man under the dominion of sin. It isn't necessarily lewdness, but a lewdness is involved. I mean, can come into it. And when he talks about flesh, he's not talking about your body is an evil thing. Who made your body? God made your body. And it's what you do with that body that's evil. That's the flesh doing that. Divine love demands divine wrath. We're under the wrath of God. Because God's love cannot overpower God's wrath. God's righteousness demands that he be hostile to everything evil. Demands that. So you have a love of God, you have the righteousness of God, and the two cannot meet. So without divine wrath, though, love would be just sentimentality. He must punish sins. He must have wrath against the sin. And you, if in sin, we were under the wrath of God. Now, that's what we were in the past. That's a grim picture. That's a worm. That's not just a sinner such as I. That's a worm. Now, what are we in the present, you might ask? Well, verses 4 to 6. God made us alive. Notice it's God who made us alive. He is the author in charge of the entire program. He is rich in mercy. Now, rich implies or conveys the idea of endless supply. He's rich. Like you think of the world's richest, $7 billion, the Donald. All kinds of money. His riches, that's his riches. God's riches of mercy are just endless. Since Jesus died, billions of people have come to know the Lord. Billions of people have been saved. They found mercy. When they came, they found mercy. And the supply has not dwindled at all. There's just as much mercy then, now, as there was then. That's why the songwriter said, though millions have come, there's room, still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. He is rich in mercy. And God has loved us with a great love. Now, it's agape, of course, but a great love. Why do you say great? Well, he's using a noun form with the verb, the same root. He loved with love. And that emphasizes it. It makes a very strong statement. He loved with a great love. Now, also, we are not worthy of this change because we were dead in trespasses. We could do nothing. There's nothing we could do. And there's nothing that we're asked to do. Right? You're not able to do anything? Well, that's good because he didn't ask you to do anything. Right? God gave us life from the dead. Just gave it to us. At this point, Paul breaks his train of thought with a few words of praise. I think he just broke out because he knows where he's going. He's heading for verses 8 and 9, though they don't have verses then. But he's headed for the idea, you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. He's going to, 8 and 9 are coming up. He's got it in his mind. He's headed there. But as he's writing along here, this is great. Look, he gave us life. And I think he said, by grace you're saved. And guess what? He was chained to a soldier. And the guy was probably nodding. My grace, you're saying, what's he doing? What's wrong? Who left out? I love this. By grace, you're saved. Well, the verb have been saved. It's a perfect tense. It says, you were saved, and you're still saved. I like that. You were saved. Yeah, oh yeah, I was saved. Yeah, but are you still saved? Yes, you're still saved. That's what the Word of God says. Early in my time in Florida, probably the first semester, I was in Dr. Garrett's office, the president. I took a missionary evangelist with me. I wanted him to come and do evangelism. I was in charge of evangelism. And I brought this evangelist to the president's office. And you know what he asked him? This evangelist asked the president, are you saved? And he said, well, yeah. I was saved. Oh, no, brother, I didn't ask you, were you saved? Are you saved now? It was a very ticklish moment for me. But we still had him in there. But that's it. See, are you saved now? Yes, I was saved then, and I am still saved. Because that's what that word says. So I have been, and I am now saved. So he made us alive. And he also raised us up. 6a says, we have been raised out of death to newness of life. A new life. Not just any life. Eternal life. See? You were dead in trespasses and sins. But now he's raised to a new life. He's raised us up. This is pictured by water baptism, of course. We were buried in with him in baptism, in which we also were raised with him through faith by the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Yeah. That's it. That's the picture. Buried with him in baptism, resurrected, raised up to walk in newness of life. So we have been made alive, we've been raised up. We are now seated in the heavenlies. You ever get the special seat somewhere? Oh, here, sit, come up here and sit right here. You're in a special seat. I was at a birthday party. I got a call from one of my former students. He was African American. And he said, would you come, you and your wife come to my birthday party in my church? He was pastor. I said, sure. And so I went in to sit. I was going to, didn't know where to sit. And he said, oh no, come up here. And they, on their platform, they had the pastor and the birthday boy and his wife and a few others. But all the rest of them sat out there. And we sat up here. And I believe we had meal. Not, but here we were up on the dais, and we were special in that sense. See, God didn't just raise us up. He put us in the heavens. Christ is sitting on the throne at God's right hand, and we're seated with him already. We're seated there. Already there. And I take it that when we die, we will be taken right to that spot. There we are, all on a big throne because of those billions of people are there, waiting for the Lord to return to the earth. The rapture first, and then up there 6 years, and then back to the earth to finally get this thing straightened out, where we have this kingdom, and we will be ruling and reigning with Christ then, throughout the millennium, and then forever. So we are. Hebrews 11 talks about that. You know, we're not. You know, people look at us. You're not worthy. We don't care about you. Hebrews 11 says this. I don't have it down here quoted, but he said, turns it around and says, these men of faith, the world was not worthy of them. they thought they weren't worthy of them. Oh, the world wasn't worthy of them. See? Well, that's what it is. You are in a position of being given new life, raised with Christ, raised into heaven, and the world says, you're not worth anything. Oh yeah, you're worthy of everything. And it's happened in the heavenlies. This is the third time we've seen heavenlies here. 1:3 says, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. 1:20, he said, he raised him from the dead and has seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now, he says, we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. They're great. Paul has told us what we were and what we are now. But just in case someone gets a swelled head about what we are, he's going to take the next 3 verses to tell you, you didn't do a thing. God did it all. You believe that, you have eternal life. You worms.